May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. Oh, the insanity of it all. No, I don't mean snow on the first day of spring. And thankfully, we were spared from that this morning. I mean Palm Sunday. Now, as I say every Palm Sunday, we shouldn't be reading the Passion Gospel at all today. And we used to not do that. It doesn't really fit. But we do read it at the end of the service, and the result is a wild roller coaster ride of emotions from the near carnival atmosphere of the procession of the palms to the shouts to crucify him, heard later. It hasn't made sense for decades, but maybe that's not such a bad thing. After all, it marks the beginning of a week in which we move from the absurdly dark and hopeless to something beyond our wildest imaginations of what love can be. So why not start this week of contrasting emotions with a service filled with them? Now, if you look back at the Liturgy of the Palms to the reading from the Gospel of Luke, you might notice something's missing. We call it Palm Sunday, but guess what? No palms mentioned at all. Not in this gospel, not the Gospel of Luke. So you are now equipped to win that annual family game of Holy Week trivia. Which reminds me a bit of a little boy who was sick on Palm Sunday and stayed home from church with his mother. His father returned from church holding a palm branch. And the little boy was curious and asked, "Why do you have that palm branch, Dad?" His dad said, "Well, you see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches today." And the little boy replied, "Ah, shucks, the one Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus shows up." Thankfully, we know that Jesus shows up every Sunday, well, every day and everywhere for that matter. And you may have also noticed that I didn't read the full gospel text. There's no need. It's read by all of us at the end of this service. As I said before, it shouldn't be read at all today. It's too soon. But I did read a part of it. And it's that part that offers a glimpse of something important for us to carry with us this week. It was Luke 22, 40 through 53. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and the rest of him afterward. In this moment, a time when many would choose to flee, Jesus chooses to pray and tells his disciples to pray too. He's praying so hard for something to change, for something to somehow be different. And yet he knew it would not be. So this is where we are too on Palm Sunday, between great joy at the beginning and great pain at the end. Jesus prays for another way. Don't we all? How many of us in the inevitable valleys of our lives pray for another way? Jesus did, and so do we, knowing that in the invariable ups and downs of our human existence, the one constant is that God is with us. In our moments of deepest darkness, God is most present, even if we struggle to feel that light surrounding us. And Jesus knew that too. And strengthened by that moment of prayer, he willingly moves toward what he knows is a choice only he can make. He heads out of the garden toward what awaits him. One of his disciples makes a choice too. He chooses to fight, and with his sword hurts one of the high priests who came to arrest Jesus. Jesus chooses the way of peace, not violence, and counters the pain of the sword with an act of healing grace. And in that moment, Jesus, the living light of God, acknowledges the irony of what surrounds him, saying, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." Jesus, leaving the garden, walks from the light of prayer, of conversation with God, out into the darkness of human anger, hate, and violence. Jesus counters all of that with love, with healing, and with peace. Wherever he goes, he changes everything, flips it around from the expected, forces us to consider the possibilities of another way. He makes sense of the absurd world, a world we experience jam-packed into this off-the-wall worship service we call Palm Sunday, and certainly a world we experience outside this door every day. And as the body of Christ in the world today, he calls us to make similar choices too, in the craziness of the world in which we live. In a world filled with acts of violence, Jesus calls us to choose peace. In a world filled with words of hate, Jesus calls us to choose love. In a world filled with the darkness of despair, Jesus calls us to be the light of hope. And in a world that can leave us unsure how to do any of that, Jesus calls us to pray as he did. And so today we are left with a question that Palm Sunday lays out for us that asks, what journey are you willing to make this week to enter into this story? Because if there's one thing we should not leave here feeling is any sense that we are ready for Easter. Instead, we should leave Palm Sunday with a whole lot of questions. Because the whole service, the whole experience of this moment in time is filled with them. And there are not answers. Not yet, anyway. Just a choice to be made. That's what Palm Sunday is all about. Jarring us loose from our comfort zone and shaking us up a bit, because if we're really to understand this story, our Christian story, we have more to do. And we will on Wednesday and Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. Holy Week is a journey we make every year by choice, not because it's the same, but precisely because it is not. How we enter into it, what we hear in it, what we feel going through it, will change from year to year because we are never the same from one year to the next. But one thing is for sure. Moving through it makes Easter the transformative experience it is meant to be. Holy Week will challenge you. Holy Week will engage you. Holy Week will change you. I invite you all to the journey of a lifetime. The rest is up to you. Amen.